Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Welcome to our service and a Merry Christmas to you during this Christmas season. This message was recorded for our Christmas Eve service and it will be used for the week of December 27th, 2020. The call to worship I've chosen is from Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. The purpose of Advent is to remind us to remember, rejoice, and respond, because God has kept His promises to humanity. With the birth of Jesus, we see God the Father actively fulfilling His promise to save His people from their sins. God has been at work from the very beginning to make returning to Him possible. In Genesis chapter 3, at the time of Adam and Eve's greatest failure, God reveals that He has a plan. There is still hope for humanity. God promises that one day, a descendant of Eve would defeat the devil. Genesis 3, verse 15. Abraham and Sarah were not flawless, but they learned to live by God's promises. God told them, while they were still childless, that one of their descendants would be a blessing to all the nations on earth. Through their grandson Jacob, it was prophesied that the promised one would come through the tribe of Judah. Later, the Lord got more specific, telling King David that from the tribe of Judah, the promised one will come and will rule eternally. God's prophets continued to remind the people that He had not forgotten His promise to them. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Micah, Zechariah, Malachi, as well as some of the Psalms, prepared the people for the one the Lord God would send as their Savior. As we look at the Christmas story, we see, we hear God's good news of the promised Savior born to the Virgin Mary. We see that message came to three groups of people. The first is the angel's message to Mary. Mary is told that she has found favor with God and would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give birth to a son. She is to name him Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33 says, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Here is a promise to fulfill the prophecies. Notice Mary is told the gender of the child that she will bear and what to name him. The Gospel of Matthew confirms that this is what Joseph was also told. So the second visit we see, the angel messenger visits Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, we read, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Joseph, the man Mary was engaged to, also had a visit from an angel and was told what to name the baby boy and why. He was told, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua, and Joshua means the Lord saves. Mary's child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is to be given the name the Lord saves because he will save his people from their sins. There's a third visit by God's messenger we see in the Christmas story, and this is when the angel messenger visits the shepherds. And the angel message to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Brahmin once said to a Christian missionary in India, there are many things which Christianity and Hinduism have in common. But one thing Christianity has that is not found in Hinduism is a savior. And he was right. Christianity is different in that Christ did not come as a social or economic reformer, but as a savior of individuals. God came to earth not to change the adverse conditions under which people live, but to change the sinful hearts responsible for such evil in the world. God's plan, first promised to us in the Garden of Eden, is coming to pass. The one who will defeat the deceiver and be a blessing to all the nations is coming as Savior. He will save his people from their sins. God knew from the very beginning that we would need a Savior. And so the second person of the Trinity came and lived among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. God's love motivated him to action. God has not acted from a distance to save us. He became one of us in order to save us. This is the awesome message of Christmas. Radio storyteller Paul Harvey told this story. One cold winter night, a man heard an irregular thumping sound against the kitchen storm door. He went to a window and watched as tiny shivering sparrows, attracted to the evident warmth inside, beat in vain against the glass. Touched, the farmer bundled up and trudged through fresh snow to open the barn door for the struggling birds. He turned on the lights, tossed some hay in a corner, and sprinkled a trail of saltine crackers to direct them to the barn. But the sparrows, who had scattered in all directions when he emerged from the house, still hid in the darkness, afraid of him. He tried various tactics, circling behind the birds to drive them towards the barn, tossing cracker crumbs in the air towards them, retreating into the house to see if they'd flutter into the barn on their own. But nothing worked. He was a huge alien creature, and it terrified them. The birds could not understand that he actually wanted to help. He went back to his house and watched the doomed sparrows through a window. As he stood there, pitying the poor birds, a thought hit him. If only I could become a bird, one of them, just for a moment, then I wouldn't frighten them so. I could show them the way to warmth and safety. At that moment, another thought dawned on him. He now understood the principle of the incarnation. A man becoming a bird is nothing compared to God becoming a man. The concept of a sovereign being, bigger than the universe that he created even, confining himself to a human body was and is too much for some people to believe. But this is what God has done for us. This year's Advent series started with the question, should we cancel Christmas? Since we can't celebrate the usual way, let's cancel it until we can do it right. That might be a thought that crossed some people's minds. Yet perhaps Christmas 2020 is showing us what the true gift of Christmas is and what is only gift wrap and ribbons. It may be that Jesus' birth has become familiar and ordinary to you. It's like that predictable gift that you get every year that you pick up, give a squeeze and a smile, and you say, you know what? I'm going to wait and open this gift when I need a new pair of socks. And everyone laughs. The image of the farmer wishing he could become a bird to save the freezing sparrows only gives us a hint at the enormity of what the second person of the Trinity did for us in becoming human. Yet the baby in the manger is such a quaint, familiar gift that he gets overlooked and undervalued. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, lived, and died for the sins of humanity, the prophet Isaiah was given these prophetic words in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 9. He foresaw that while Jesus ministered on earth, he would be seen as too plain a gift to be worth opening. And yet, he was the perfect gift, exactly what each of us needed. He came to give himself up for us as our Savior. Listen to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 9 from the Message translation. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew firsthand pain. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him. We thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Isaiah 53, 1 to 9. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The good news of Christmas is that God has reached out to us and sent us a Savior. Jesus the Christ is here with us. The wait is over. And the promises have been kept. We do not need to go through life alone. Your worries, struggles, frustrations, pain, and loneliness do not need to be faced alone. For God is here in Jesus Christ. The gift He offers us is priceless. How can we ever express our thanks? The greatest gift you could give to God is to give Him your heart, your life, your all. And in doing so, you will receive the greatest gift, a renewed relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the fulfillment of God's plan for you from the very beginning. As you understand this, you can't help but respond with joy.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
The one who is God, who was born as a babe that long ago night, reflects the light of his Father's love to you now. Receive the love and pass it on. And may God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ bless you all with a very Merry Christmas. Amen and good night.